it's good to be together, isn't it, tonight? To be here as, you know, one church. I'm well aware that, obviously, you know, so often we are separated out, Chichester and Bognor, and it's not often we get the opportunity to be together with kids as well. And I'm aware, obviously, you know, it's an evening, a lot of us been this morning, so this is a good representation of the church, but by no means all of us. But I just think it's sometimes easy to miss, you know, what God's doing amongst us in our midst. And as we come together to see eldership appointed, and in a moment John's going to speak to us, I wanted to just try and bring a little encouragement for just a minute, if I might. It really won't be long, but let's do me a show of hands, okay? Could you do me a show of hands if you got married in this church? If you'd be part of Grace, you meet, or indeed some of you got married elsewhere, but you met your husband, wife here. Put your hands up high if that's you. Let's have a little look around. There's quite a few there, aren't you? And quite a lot of you have gone and have babies too, which is good. Let's do me another. Who's done an Alpha course with Grace Church? You put your hands up if you've done Alpha here at Grace Church. Look at that. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Well, you've done Alpha. Let me just say, what if you got who got baptised by Grace Church? You put your hands up if you got baptised. Put them up nice and high so you can see. Isn't that good? Hey, Chris. Fantastic. So, yeah, people got baptised. Who got saved here? You actually gave your life to Jesus Christ because of being here. Look, listen, guys, we should be encouraged. Fantastic. Is it over there? Listen, God's at work in our midst, isn't he? Because only Jesus can save people, and yet that's what we're called to do, see people saved. And only Jesus is a life transformer, and yet we come together, you know, we preach the gospel, and we see people saved, baptized, added. I just want you to be encouraged tonight that God is at work in our midst. And so, as we come this evening to see more eldership appointed, more leadership appointed, it's not because we want to maintain. Does that make sense? Because we wanted to maintain, well, we've been maintaining, you know, we can maintain, can't we? I was going to say we've been maintaining, we've been doing more than maintaining. With David and I, and working together with Darren, although he's not an elder, you know, he just works hard for us as well, so thank you. You know, yeah, very hard, absolutely. But and with that team, we've done more than maintain. We've seen advance, and I'm just in faith as we go from 2 to 5 to believe God for so much more that he can do amongst us. So I just wanted to encourage you tonight as we come to this. This isn't about maintaining our church. This is about pushing forward in mission. And for that reason, eldership can be a challenge, sometimes opposed, you know, sometimes can be challenges in this season. So let's watch ourselves over these weeks ahead, shall we? Can we pray for one another, encourage one another? Keep a level head and don't overreact to anything. All right, just remain calm at all times. So let's do that together. And that's just what I wanted to say. So in a moment, John's going to speak to us. And then after he's done that, we will be praying for bringing some guys into eldership. And what I can say before we do that is there is a video in the foyer. If you are a small person, and you can define for yourself, I mean in age, a young person. If you're a young person, oh, the temptation. I'm just biting my lip right now so badly. And if you are a young person and you can decide what young means, then there is a video for you. Because I wouldn't want anyone dozing off during a John Groves talk. No one. I mean, who could? I bet it must have never happened, literally, never happened. Never happened, John says, never happened. So if you want to do that, head that way right now, young people. That's it. That's your cue to go if you want to watch the video. He's got Veggie Tales or something or other going on in the foyer. So while the kids are doing that, and what we'll do when we come to the praying, we'll give you the option then, and we'll tell the kids to either come back in or continue watching the video at the praying point. Does that make sense? Well, just your choice, really, at that point. Without any further ado, can we please give a huge Grace Church welcome to John, who's going to come and speak to us.
It's great to be with you. It always is, but it's a particularly joyful occasion to be setting in some elders. By the way, that was encouraging, all those shows of hands. But how long have you been here, Steve?
8 years. We're going through the 9th year now.
8 years. That's not long, is it? Well, it doesn't seem long to me. You get older, it doesn't. It seems yesterday. 8 years. And yet, look what God's done. And as Steve correctly said, it won't be everybody here on an evening like this for lots of reasons, apart from being out this morning. So it's amazing what God's been doing here, and it's encouraging. You need to feel an encouragement and a joy in it all. I'm going to talk probably for about 15, 20 minutes about what we're going to do tonight, but with a bit of explanation, because I think sometimes we can throw terms around like elders, which is what we're going to do. We're going to appoint three elders tonight and not be quite sure what that is. What does that mean? How does it work? And it's good to have an opportunity like this to say, this is how we understand the New Testament talking about local church leadership. It's our understanding that in the New Testament, which we try and take as our guideline as best we can, in the New Testament, the local church is led by a team of elders. Now, we'll talk that out for a few minutes because we need to understand that. Because there's a lot of funny things that aren't like that in all sorts of churches, and I'm not out to criticize that. In fact, there's so many other versions of names and types of local church leadership across the denominations that actually it can be a little odd to use the term elders. So, you know, you almost have to dig into the Bible to say, hey, what are we talking about? Because lots of terms, you know, not hard to think of them, is it? Vicar and priest and pastor and all the rest of it. But actually, when you really dig into the New Testament, local church leadership is in the hands of elders. So what are we talking about? Let's look at a short passage in 1 Peter chapter 5. And it's just four verses at the beginning of that chapter. And I'm really going to read that and then out of it just make a few points about eldership. Now these are for all of our benefit. They're partly for the benefit of John and Chris and Thomas as they recognize what's happening to them when they're appointed tonight as elders. What's part of the deal? I think they already know, but they're just reminding them. It's a reminder to those of us that already are elders, and obviously it's Steve and Dave here, but many of us, I'm an elder at Winchester, just what's involved in the task we're already doing. But it's very important for all of you who are involved here in this church or a church similar, because there's some friends here from elsewhere, just to remind ourselves what the New Testament, what the Bible says about eldership and local church elders. So let's read a few verses. We're reading 1 Peter 5 and we'll start at verse 1. So Peter says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. So he clearly likes to define himself in that category. And as a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed. He says, so I exhort you, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Now, the first point I want to make is not even a main point, it's just a definition. In this short passage, and it's not the only place this happens in the New Testament, there are really three terms used for the same group of people. The word elder, but also overseer or oversight, and shepherding or pastoring might be a more familiar way of describing that. And those three things come together several times about local church leaders. So the five elders you will have by the end of this evening leading this church in all its sites will be elders who are overseers, who are shepherds of this particular flock. And those three terms are all important. Elder is a term that was drawn from the Jewish background of so many in the New Testament, and it applied to the synagogue way it was run, but it really refers to spiritual maturity. Now, you could say, well, isn't it about age? And particularly in Chris's case, he's not really that old, but it's not purely about age. Spiritual maturity doesn't just automatically come with age, I'm afraid, and it also isn't limited to just lots and lots of years. It is something that happens as people grow in God, as people learn to experience life and handle it under God's leading and instruction, are able to put into practice the things they've heard and learned. In a way, it probably only requires someone to have grown in Jesus for a few years to be not a novice, not a new Christian, but to have shown that they take the word of God seriously and there's a maturity to the way they live as a Christian. They're able to put it into practice, what they believe. Then there's another word, overseer, which is from a Greek background. So it's not the Jewish background, it's a Greek background. It's almost a bit like manager, but it's a slight job description. It's saying that these local church leaders oversee, and I like it as a term actually, see over the whole church. They're probably not experts in many areas, perhaps no areas, but God has called them to bring a spiritual oversight, a spiritual sort of management under God of the whole church and every part of it. And then the other word, which perhaps is the most powerful in a way that seems to be associated with this role, is the word shepherd. And sometimes we use the word pastor, which is a sort of way of translating it, but it's really shepherd. And God loves to use the term shepherd for his leaders because it's the way God designates himself. Most of us know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And there's lots of ways in which God talks of himself as a shepherd. And I think that phrase is about the heart of what God's looking for. He's looking for a shepherding leadership. And indeed, he will gift his leaders to be shepherds. He'll, if you like, break off a little bit of his shepherd heart and give it to those he calls to lead in his church. And so we're looking to see these three elements emerge and be established and be exercised by the three guys we're going to pray for tonight and by the whole team of five. But I think there's a few more things I want to draw out these verses just about how they function together as we appoint this and make two into five. So it's more than doubling your eldership. It's quite a significant change. Now, I think another thing I would draw out from this passage is that eldership is actually generally a team effort. When you read your New Testament, it's nearly always plural, elders. I think there can be exceptions. I don't think plurality takes precedent over actuality. In other words, we need people who really are elders and have the gifting and the calling and all the rest of it. And sometimes that's, especially as a church starts and a church plant, that's not going to be huge numbers of people. It might only be one person. But actually, as soon as possible, we want to see a team of elders. It is a team effort. God loves team. And I think it's a shame that so often church, historically, in all its various manifestations, has locked on to one-man ministry pretty clearly and are not always very helpfully, because even the universe itself is run by a team. God is a Trinity. Team Trinity runs the whole show. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, a team has a leader, and Team Trinity is led by the Father. But there's something to learn about team. There's mutual relational activity between the Trinity. There's mutual respect and honour. And there's a sense of serving together and serving one another. And in our salvation, all three members of the Trinity, all three persons have had their part to play in bringing through this great salvation we all enjoy. And that's a model for how, if you like, an eldership team should work. There's a unity of purpose. There's a clear understanding of where we're taking things. But there will be different functions. There'll be hopefully mutual respect and mutual honour. And yet there will be leadership. There'll be submission to that. But there'll be a sense of we're in this together. We all own all of it. Just like, if I can say it reverently, all members of the Trinity owned the whole process of you becoming a Christian and continue to own the process of taking you through and on to glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit involved. When we baptize people, we mention all three persons of the Trinity because that's the right thing to do. They're all involved. And this eldership team will work as a team. And it's a great model to have in mind. Eldership, I think, also needs to be Jesus-centered. This is our second point from these few verses. Peter is clearly very conscious of Jesus. He says, I was a witness of his sufferings, which is a unique role that Peter had. And he said he's also looking forward to the glory that's going to be revealed. And it comes out even in those four verses twice that Peter's sort of looking forward to meeting Jesus again and realizing when he does, he will be giving an account of his leadership role. But Peter is very Jesus-centered. That's very helpful to see, because when you come into leadership, and the three guys we're going to pray for this tonight, this is particularly important to you. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. It is so easy in leadership to get focused on the detail, to get focused on the positives, but sadly often the negatives, and the micromanage sometimes, even though you don't want to get drawn into all sorts of things. But Peter is very conscious of what he calls the chief shepherd. When the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive an unfading crown of glory. Peter is conscious that this is all about the chief shepherd. Now, you know who the chief shepherd is, don't you? It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. These guys are under shepherds. They don't own the church. Jesus does. You're not their sheep. You're his sheep. They indeed are sheep of the great chief shepherd. And all of this is about Jesus. It's about building his church. It's about establishing his name. It's about helping his church to spread the good news about Jesus to Chichester and Bognor and Midhurst and I'm sure other places as well. It's very important. And I think, if I can just say it, as you gather as a team, elders, here, a team of five now, make sure that Jesus is central. So I think in practice that means there will be an element of worship and prayer to your elders' meetings. Hopefully more than an element. Sometimes you'll be able to put time aside and say, we're just going to pray together. We're just going to seek God. Because we're looking for the chief shepherd to guide us. So eldership is team. Eldership is Jesus-centered. And elders are, thirdly, shepherding a flock. They are actually doing a job which is best described probably as shepherding, biblically. Biblical shepherds were not quite the same as the shepherds we see around. They knew their sheep. They led their sheep from the front when they took them from one place to another. They had to do a lot more robust protection of sheep from robbers, wolves and whatever. And they often were with their sheep 24/7, to be honest. And there's a lot of things you can dig out of it. And obviously the whole thing is a subject in itself. But it's worth saying these elders, the ones we're appointing, the ones you already have, are shepherds of this flock, Grace Church, Chichester. And that means they will be concerned that you are being fed good food. That will be part of their job. Fed spiritually good food. That is based on God's word. So it's important that they not only know God's word, but have time to study it and think about it and make it their own. That they have an element of discernment about what the church needs as they gather together. How are we going to preach? What does the church need? That will be a hugely important part of what they do. That they understand how appropriately to apply God's word. Milk for those that are new or still comparatively babies in Christ. Meat, something a bit more substantial for others. That won't mean that it's only about the Sunday sermon. This is about the whole context of church. They'll want to make sure that the flock's well fed. They want to make sure the flock is cared for. Now, in a large church, and you're already quite a large church, the elders cannot individually, not all of them, can care for everybody. So there must be an element of delegation and oversight. But the elders will be concerned that everybody is cared for. That's a different thing. They will want to make sure that someone is caring for everybody, that nobody is outside the care, as it were, of this church. So do bear in mind there's a tension there. They can't do all the caring. That would be impossible. But they will be concerned for it. They will guard the flock. That will be part of shepherding. So there'll be times when they will need to be careful that the flock is not being led astray or divided by external attacks like wolves in terms of picture and metaphor. But there'll be other times when they need to protect the flock from internal division because the flock could end up butting and fighting each other. And so there's sometimes two sorts of guarding that goes on. A good shepherd, these men will give themselves to being careful to make sure this flock is united and is not divided externally or internally. They will give it leadership. Shepherding means you take the flock to places, you lead it to places. And they will sometimes be disciplining. Now that won't mean hopefully very much heavy often, but it might mean some direction. Their means of discipline will be the word of God. So it'll be probably counselling and speaking truth into people's lives. But that is part of their role. Shepherds in the first century had that. They weren't vets. There's no veterinary. So they had that not only just care, but sometimes a sort of making sure the sheep didn't stray into a dangerous area or whatever. So that's all part of eldership. Let's move on quickly. I've already said this, but I want to just touch it again. Elders oversee the whole flock. Now, I think it's a little important point to make right here because of your context of multi-site. I believe we are appointing these three men as elders of the whole of Grace Church. Now, you know, some of them will inevitably be majoring in one site or another, one congregation or another, Bognor or Chichester or Midhurst, soon to be. But actually, all five are elders of the whole church and all its sites. Amen? So there's a sense in which This is an interesting and sometimes a slightly challenging thing anyway. I mean, sometimes the contexts are different, but, you know, you sometimes get elders who maybe, here's one standing in front of you, who is not very musical and is not probably be useless to be doing any of the jobs behind me tonight. But yet I don't back off in having an oversight concern for worship. Now, I don't particularly work at the detail because I wouldn't be any use talking about the actual act. Somebody else in the church, needn't be an elder, will be leading the worship team. But I certainly feel free to speak into it. I feel free to oversee it. I feel free to express positives and negatives where it feels like we need to give a bit of direction. And that's fine. That's right, because that is our responsibility. And you can apply that same principle across sites and all sorts of things. We're not looking for this is a team overseeing and owning, as it were, the whole church. Then fifthly, it says in these verses, and this is interesting, elders are not to domineer over the flock. They're not to be domineering. That's the ESV translation. Some, I think, NIV and others said not to lord it over the flock. Now, this is a very important thing, and it echoes very clearly what Jesus said. There was a time when James and John got very positional and interested in power and badges and roles in terms of leadership. They asked Jesus, where are we going to be when you're in your kingship? We want to be on the right and the left and all that. You can read it for yourself in Mark 10. And it's an opportunity for Jesus to teach his disciples how he sees leadership. And it's quite a shock. He says, you're to be servants of all. You're not to be like the Gentiles, lording it over. You're not to be the same as the world's model of leadership. Now, that is quite challenging, but it is very important. Elders are to operate a Christ-like leadership. That's a servant leadership. You serve the church by leading it. Doesn't mean you don't lead it, but you realize you're serving them. You're trying to take them into where Jesus is taking them. The biggest thing it means is that you realize they're not your people. They're not your sheep, if you like, in that term. They belong to Jesus. So you're looking to give direction that Jesus gives you. You are accountable to him. This moderates any sense of heaviness or I own them or they're my people or they're here to serve my ministry. They're all things that would be offensive to Jesus. Sadly, they can be common in general church leadership. But people are not there to serve our ministry. They're not there to help us to achieve what we feel called to. We are here certainly to have a sense of call, certainly to have a sense of vision and direction, but for the good of the whole church and to lead them somewhere. We're looking for people to grow in God. We're looking, Ephesians 4 is very clear that Jesus gives the gifts so that we might equip the saints for works of service. So part of the role of eldership, leadership, is to equip people to do what God's calling them to do and to be able to serve his purpose and serve the church. So I think there is no sense in which elders can sort of feel these are my people and my church. They're Jesus. And we can't start lording it over them. Our main tools for doing the job are really God's word. So if we are challenging people, we must base it on something that we can clearly see in the Bible, really. And it's clear, so you might challenge people. You will have to do it sometimes as leaders. You know, they're not living as they should. And you have to say, look, this is not in order if you're following Jesus. So you do exercise authority, but it's not just your own personal sort of charisma or willpower or because I'm telling you type authority. It's not like that at all. It's a Christ-centered, Bible-centered authority. Sometimes it's not easy, but it still has to be done. But it has to be done in the right spirit. And that's an important part of eldership. Let's move on, and this is the one's tied to it, really. In these verses, in number 6, I'm only doing 7. Number 6, Peter says, you're examples to the flock. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? One of the main ways we do our job as elders is really to try and live out what we believe. A sort of bottom line, and I've felt this, said it, preached it, and tried to do it. A bottom line is, I'm really only asking you lot to do what I do. I mean, it's a sort of bottom line. Now, I don't have to always wear my heart on my sleeve, and it's not appropriate to tell everybody everything. But inside me, there must be an integrity that if, for example, I'm calling you to pray, I need to pray. I'm calling you to witness to my friends, I need to be prepared to do that and trying to do it. Now, it's often challenging if you're full-time, but where I can, I do. And actually, You know, if I'm calling you to give properly, I'm giving properly. Now, some of that you'll know, some you won't, but God knows the whole thing. And he knows that really, if there is a disconnect between what you say and what you do, it somehow God won't honour it. So eldership's quite a tough call. It's quite a challenge. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect. We are far from perfect. But there must be an openness sometimes to even express some of that imperfection where appropriate, or to use it to say, look, guys, I'm battling with this as well. This is how I'm trying to learn in Jesus, and I'm just sharing it with you. Sometimes we'll say it like that. But we are an example to the flock, and that's very important. And finally, in these verses, Peter says, elders look to future glory. They don't particularly look for present recognition and appreciation. Now, I'd love you to show appreciation to all your elders, but we're not in this for the money, and we're not in it for the kudos, and we're not in it for everybody telling us how wonderful a job we're doing. And actually, it can be that some of us struggle with that. We'd love to hear a bit more. You can encourage them. And in fact, various passages in the Bible, Hebrews 13, for example, encourages you to greet your leaders and to pray for your leaders. And that's fine. Please do that. But actually, as elders, we're not really looking for a reward this side of glory. But there is a reward. There is a blessing to be had in this role. Peter's very clear that there is, as I read in that last verse where Peter said this, and you will receive the unfading crown of glory when the chief shepherd appears. There is something special about being allowed the privilege of leading God's people, being called to it. It isn't a glamorous job. Can I just say that? Because when you look from the outside sometimes, funnily enough, I was talking to someone only this week in Winchester, young guy who's on our team, just working in the office. And he was saying how he realised, and he's been there around for a few years now, he realised when before he joined, he thought it was wonderful what we did. And now he thinks it's awful. He wasn't saying it quite like that. He wasn't saying, he's thinking, it's tough. He said, boy, I never knew it is not a glamorous role. I mean, you are quite under the spotlight of people. The devil doesn't like you. And God's got a higher standard for you. So you think, oh, blow. Because those of us who are teachers and who lead, Jesus said, the Bible says they've got a higher standard. God's saying, I expect more of you. So in a way, it's quite a tough number. But it has a sense of reward because Jesus will reward those who faithfully serve in this way. There's a promise in Scripture for it, which is great. So these three guys that we're going to pray for now in a few minutes, do pray for them because this won't always feel a comfortable role at all for them. It'd be quite tough. But also, honour them, if I can put it that way, because they've been prepared to go for it. They've had an element of testing already. We've thought about it. We've talked to them sometimes already. We've made one or two challenging comments because we know that the standards are high and we feel they've responded well. The church is very supportive. They've served well already. There's plenty of evidence of their desire to serve God's people. There's a sense of call on them that they recognise. Now, we want this to be a success, don't we? Don't we? We want this to be a very successful eldership. I never want to hear that, you know, these guys have had such a tough time that two or three of them want to give up, or even one of them wants to give up, or that they're falling apart or something like that. I'm not expecting any of that. Let me say to you, I've got two guys who I love deeply, actually, who Dave and Steve, who I've been in eldership, who are visiting, not this Steve, I've been in eldership with, and I have had the privilege of always being part of an eldership that fundamentally have been united and good friends, not always comfortable. We've had our disagreements. We sometimes not agreed on things, but I know that those guys have been terrible, not only those, but others I've served with have been supportive. So for me, I haven't got some horrible stories of elderships falling out. You just need to know that. But I want you to pray for these guys as they come, that this team will go on from strength to strength. That as Steve said a few minutes ago, this church will go into a whole new phase of growth and establishment and development as a result of having five on the eldership team, having new blood. It's a great mix. For team, it's always good to have a mix. This is a good mix as a mix of age for a start. John won't mind me saying, it's quite unusually sometimes to be appointing someone that old, but I think it's right to do it. And then there's someone who's a little bit younger than quite often you'd appoint. That's Chris. That's right to do too. There's a mix in the team. And there's a mix of type and background and gift and character. And so there'll be some storming and forming, as they say. But I believe this will be a great team for the future of this church. And I trust you do as well. So in a few moments, we're going to pray for them. I didn't know if you wanted to call people back in, because I'm going to move on to that now or not. Yeah, I can't really see a thing, so I'll have to do this. There you are.
Let's just say, so if you want your kids to come back in and be part of this, now's a moment to go and get them. Do you know what I mean? There's no pressure. Equally, if you're happy with them watching the video, that's fine. I just recognise it's their church as well that it's got us being made elders of, and at the same time, some of them might be climbing the curtains time we're done praying them, and that just wouldn't be good. So you can make your own call. Is that all right? And yeah. So on that basis, now you're right, I see one or two have done. That's just fine. So John, over to you to.
Yeah, carry on.
Yeah.
I might like that microphone around, though. Could I have that?
Yeah. Right. It's muted. No, it's unmuted. It's live.
It's live. Okay. It's live. I'm not going to use it for me, but I'm going to... I want to... All right, you hold on to it and ask you for it when I'm... Right. I don't know what to do. I'm not very techie. I'll ask you. I want the three guys... I'm sorry, I really can't... All I can see is sort of a few shadowy figures. I take it you haven't all gone home or fallen... even worse, fallen asleep. No. Don't answer that one. Can I please have up John and Thomas and Chris, just the three guys who we're going to appoint ourselves. Where are you? Come on, give them a clap as they come up. That's funny. Now, there. You have to get them into a striped shirt. Oh, no, what a job. Okay, that's the selection process. You two can get down there. We're now going to... Actually, we're going to do something which I consider quite serious. You wouldn't think so by the way I've spoken, would you? But I think when we do this, I do like to give an opportunity just to almost formalise what we're doing. I like to give a charge to the guys who are going to be elders. And I hope, I haven't primed them for this, I hope that they will say yes to what I'm going to say. If they don't, this is the very last minute for you guys to duck out. This really is last call. The gate is about to close. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them a charge of, are they willing to serve this church as an elder? I'm going to make a few statements, and it'll be quite obvious. And John, I'll let you go first, because we... Probably you could work on this. And then the other, you'll get the idea. But when I've finished, I want you to say yes into the microphone and pass it to the next one. And then I'm going to say this, but I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do it for each of the three of you. Get it? So it's not like a one-size-fits-all thing. Okay, there, John, you can hold that microphone. That will. Okay, John, I'm going to ask you, are you willing to serve Grace Church as an elder, to shepherd God's flock with care and with diligence? Are you willing to lead by your example and the authority of God's word, and not to lord it over these people?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. Thank you, John. Thomas, are you willing to serve Grace Church as an elder? Are you willing to shepherd God's flock with care and with diligence, to not lord it over them, but to lead them by your example and by the authority of God's word? Are you willing to do that, Thomas?
Yes, I am.
Chris? Are you willing to serve Grace Church as an elder, to shepherd this flock with care and with diligence, not to lord it over them, but leading them by example and by the authority of God's word? Are you willing, Chris?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. I'm glad you are. That's good. Now, I'm going to ask, I don't need that now because I've got this one, but I'm going to ask... you, if you belong to the church. There are obviously some visitors here who don't. So you won't stand. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. If you belong to the church and you are happy to receive these three guys as elders, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're not doing a check. Oh, why didn't they stand? Because I want you to mean it. I want you to mean it, seriously. So if you're a member of Grace Church, I want you to stand. I'm going to ask you... Probably won't do it for all three individually because it gets a bit odd there. But it's a symbolic thing by this time. We've done a lot of But I'm going to ask you a question, and I want a positive answer from you members of Grace Church, basically a yes as well. So if you're a member of Grace Church and you're totally for what we're doing, please stand. Now, I'm going to ask you this. I'll ask it once and you can respond positively. Do you, Grace Church, receive John and Thomas and Chris as elders of this church, as gifts from the risen Jesus to bless you and to serve you? And will you endeavour to make their task a joy and not a burden by cooperating with their leadership, by receiving their ministry, by praying for them, and by supporting them in any way you can? Will you do this, Grace Church?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Come on, give them another clap. You can sit down. We're going to pray for these three, and we'll bring their wives and families involved in a moment. But Steve and Dave will join me, and we're just going to pray for these three guys. Not too lengthy, but it is quite important. So we will do one at a time. Please do. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Always better if it's not muted. One or two other elders in the building actually with us tonight. So I just wonder if you would mind joining us. Is that all right, John and Neil and Ben? I see you guys. Why don't you come as well? Just because these are elders in another church, but it's good for them just to come and pray. We're going to lay hands on them. Is that all right? We will pray for their families in a minute, but I'd just like these guys that are elders to come. And I wonder also, Dave, would you come as well as a former elder here with us in this church, just to come and lay hands? Is that all right? And I'll ask Steve as well, as an elder just moved back from Sydney to the UK, has been an elder there in the New Frontiers Church, with Glenn and Sandy Mace in their life group. How about that? Is this man's been in life group with Glenn and Sandy, as some of you will know exceedingly well. Is that all right? I just wanted these guys to come and pray, because I want all the anointing that we can possibly get.
Yeah. Quite seriously, laying hands on for eldership is a very biblical thing, and it's an important thing. Can I sort of suggest that we don't all have to pray for everybody, but we will start with John, and we will focus on each individual for a few minutes. So we're John, and maybe I can direct us to move on to Thomas in a minute. But please, any of you, feel free to pray. We'll be as spontaneous as we can be. Let's pray for John first.
Yeah. Father God, I want to thank you for bringing this man here, Lord God, and his wife. Father God, I thank you brought them here, and we would honour them before you this evening. Lord God, thank you for many years of faithful service. And Lord God, thank you for a man who's already been doing the job of an elder amongst us for a year now. And Lord God, we just acknowledge that tonight, and we pray, Lord, we receive him. Lord, we just pray your anointing over his life in Jesus' name. Lord God, we pray that you would impart to him every bit of wisdom and anointing that he needs for this task. Give him the energy, Lord Jesus, I pray. Give him the strength. Give him the health. Lord Jesus, I pray he'd be able to run and enjoy it, Lord God, that he would rise up on eagle's wings, run and not grow weary, walk and not be faint. Spirit of God, be with him and anoint him, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Just grab the mic.
Thank you, Lord, for John. Lord, we pray for him now, Lord. We pray for your Spirit's anointing to be upon him. Lord, we pray for this season, Lord. We thank you that you've brought him to Grace Church, Lord, to be our elder for this season, Lord. I just pray, oh God, that this season would be one that draws, like drawing from a well on his years of experience, and yet would come with a freshness of something completely new as well, in a sort of a marriage of those two things that only you can do, oh God. And so I pray, oh God, for just a huge measure of your Spirit upon him. We thank you for him and his ministry. Lord, may we be blessed. May he be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. I just, Lord, say, let your Spirit be on John. Let there be a fresh anointing, despite having served you for many years. I pray this is a fresh moment in John's ministry. It's not like, okay, get some old tools out of the box, as it were, but for something fresh, even a new gifting, a new edge to it, at least, that it's almost like an up. I see this, not a tool that's unfamiliar, but like a new version of it, like getting a brand new drill. It's not, you haven't used one before, but this is not the old one with all the, this is new for this situation. Lord, fresh gifting, fresh anointing, I pray, in the name of Jesus. May this dear man be a rich blessing to this church. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I see you, John, running a marathon. And it's when you sort of get towards the end of the marathon, you suddenly get a new wind, a new energy. And instead of slowing down, you get faster. And it's like a new energy. And you think, wow, this has been easy. There's a new life and a new energy and a new surge of anointing coming on you. And you're just going to find it just easy. There's an ease of the Spirit of God which comes on you. And even like Elijah when he ran all that way to Jezreel, 40 miles. And under the anointing of God, there's going to be anointing on you which carries you through with a new ease.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's keep going. Let's pray for Thomas. We can always bring, if you have words for them, bring them perhaps privately. It will be very difficult, but we'll do what we can. Let's move on to Thomas.
Father, again, I want to say thank you for Thomas. Thank you for bringing him here, Lord. Such a joy over these last years in this church, Lord Jesus, as we've heard about him really committing again his life to Christ on Bognor Beach, Lord Jesus. Lord God, see him coming through, being with us, Lord Jesus, finding a wife, coming back again. Lord, I thank you for all you've done. Yes. And Lord God, we pray now your blessing upon him. Lord, we receive him as an elder. I pray you'd anoint him for the task.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, I pray that you would work on him. Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, that you continue. Chris, I feel I've got a picture in my mind for you, really, and I just feel the Lord say that the process of ironing out your wrinkles is really only just beginning. And I think we know that already, but the picture I've got in my mind is an ironing board with a real wrinkly old shirt on it. And I'm not, you know, so be careful, don't feel criticised, all right? You are the shirt already, if that makes sense. But I just feel that God's saying it begins now, the smoothing out process begins now. Rough around the edges. Yeah, lots of challenges. The smoothing process has begun, but be warned, the iron gets hot. So I just want to, you know, I just feel God, it's there. So enjoy it. Enjoy this next season. God's going to be working on you. It's going to be transforming you. It's going to be changing you. So it's like, it's really, you're coming in now. You're already the garment. Does that make sense? You're already there. It's coming in now. But the shaping process, you don't come into it because you're fully formed. God's at work in you. God's at work in you.
Now,
you know, the process is never done in this lifetime either, by the way. You only get, you know, those new robes in glory, Lord Jesus. So I just pray for Thomas. I pray you'd anoint him, Spirit of God, for all you've called him to do. And I pray over these coming months, Lord God, as you work on him, as you transform him in increasing measure, Spirit of God, I just pray for an increasing anointing and flowing ministry. And thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus.
I just believe, Thomas, that God has seen your heart for the church, and it makes him smile. Mm. It does his heart good to see your heart for the church. Oh. Lord, I just pray, oh God, that you would yet increase this man's heart for your church.
Yes.
Lord, I just believe this man's great strength. It's a father's heart, and it's going to grow and strengthen. At times, it's going to be uncomfortable. There will be times when his heart will break, and times when his heart feels stretched. But actually, it's a heart of love and service, and I believe God sees it and he is pleased.
Amen. Lord, we lay hands on this dear brother. We say, Thomas, receive a fresh anointing to be an elder. Lord, we recognize what God's doing in you, but we're looking for a new phase from tonight, a new authority, new heart of care. Lord, break off a bit of your shepherd heart, a bit more of it, and give this dear man even more gifting to be able to fulfill what you've called him to do. And Lord, I pray for your blessing on himself and his family at this key moment. Jesus, we thank you for him. And we say, Lord, empower and anoint him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thomas, I just feel a real encouragement for you to raise your expectations of what God's going to do through you. We know that eldership is an acknowledgement of something that's already there, but it's also an acknowledgement of what is not yet there. And I just really feel that over you. I just feel there's an expectation that needs to rise. And there's a faith of things that are not yet there. Or they may be there in smallest form, almost the first fruits or the first shoots. But just raise your expectation of what God's going to do through you in the years to come.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's move to Chris. We're thank you. Bless you.
Yeah. Chris Kimbangi. Whoa. Lord, I just felt God give me a picture in the car coming over here, and I was so pleased what John Grove said about team, because my overwhelming picture of Chris Kimbangi is the second, I think it was, West Point, when Team Petch made it through to the final with the football, and Petch wasn't playing, but his team were, and these guys got to the final, and they ended up playing against a really fancied team, might even have been Winchester, actually, but and these guys, they played a brilliant game. I remember Joe Leach, you know, going down to the left, crossing over the goalkeeper's head, brilliant goal, and I remember Chris Kimbangi, and I'll never forget it, storming through the midfield, and he left bodies left, right and centre all over the place. And I just saw in him, I saw a wholeheartedness, a commitment, a passion, and a sort of infectious joy that seemed to run through the team. And I even noticed that some of the people he'd knocked over, he went and picked them up and said, sorry. So I feel, and then, just when he'd done his stunning midfield run, I saw him lay the ball off, and somebody else went up and scored. And I just see out of that a real picture of Chris Kimbangi. He's a man who's got a wholehearted commitment. He's a man who's got an infectious joy in God, which rubs off to all around him. He's a man with a great heart of compassion, who loves to go and pick people up when they've messed it up. And he's a man who delights in laying it off, as it were, and getting other people in good positions to go and just to bless others and do that equipping role. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just increase that anointing to do all these things, to be all that, Lord God, I see in this man. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would just ease his passage into this whole new call, Lord God, and that he would fulfill every plan and purpose for your life which you've put into him, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Father, we receive this man as an elder as well. Lord, I pray your anointing upon him. Lord, just as the others, would you bless him? Spirit of God, would you anoint him right now with eldership anointing? Lord, I pray for your gifting to fall upon him. Lord, I pray you'd continue to shape him, direct him, lead his character. Thank you, Lord God, for the faithfulness with which he served us. Lord, we've seen this guy leading, shaping teams, leading teams. Thank you for all he's done with youth and young people. Spirit of God, I pray it has just as much impact now right across this church. Lord God, we want him completely released into everything you've got for him. Thank you, Jesus. Anoint him, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit, would you just fill and anoint this man for eldership today?
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you'd put a confidence within him, Lord, that you'd remove from him any trace, not says there, but in the months going forward, no trace of the fear of man, a kind of a dependency on you, Lord, an attuneness to your ear, and a boldness to make the big calls. Lord, I just pray, oh God, that I just see a raising up of this man. Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, Lord, would you anoint him? Lord, may he know. Lord, I just pray, I feel even more than the other guys, this sense of just knowing from this day, whew, something's changed. And it's your Spirit's anointing upon him. So I just pray, oh God, for that level of anointing. Bless him, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord, I pray for a fresh mantle to come on Chris this evening, like a mantle of the Elijah. I just see this mantle, really. That's what I see, like a cloak. And I pray, Lord, that there'll be a new authority to him. I pray there'll be a new confidence and a new power to anything and everything he does. I pray it'll be like when he hits the water, it parts like Elisha with the mantle and hit it. And, Lord, I pray for a new power to his ministry, a new effectiveness to everything he does. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If I know you're being very patient. I'm going to involve you now. I'd like to sort of put the five of you up. The rest of us get down, literally. And so the five eldership team. I'd like you guys to all stand. Doesn't matter if you're Grace Church or not. I'd like you guys, do you mind being a bit un-English and sort of either put your arms around each other or link up. Link up in some way. Go on, put your arms around each other. We want to pray for them as a team, all right? We're going to pray for God to weld them together as an effective team. It's in your interests, and I know you know that this works well. And let's pray your best prayer. Put your hands out towards them and really articulate a prayer for all of them to work well together and to be a blessed and welded together. Welded together as a good, strong team. Come on, let's go for it. Articulate your prayer so we don't need to worry about each other's voices. Just pray for them as an eldership team at this point. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we pray for you to be with them, Lord. We pray that you would just weld them together. Pray to be effective in everything they do. We ask you for your hand on them, bless them. I pray, Lord, sign and seal it all together, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. I pray that you weld them together, Lord, and make them one unit. One unit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now we pray, Lord, that you would make this a very effective team. You've said that one can turn 1,000 and two 10,000. So we're looking at a significant multiplication of effectiveness in this team. And we're praying, Father, that will be how it will be. That they will be welded together. They will be a unit together. There will be a oneness about them and a wholeness to what they do. Lord, they will disagree on things. They will debate things. They will pray. They will share from different perspectives. That's what we want. That's healthy. But I pray that together they will lead the church with one heart and one voice. And this will be a momentous moment for this church. It will more than multiply the effectiveness of this church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, there's one other very important thing you need to bear with us because it's important. I want the three wives and any children around. That doesn't mean Nick, of course, but the three wives, Molly and Catherine and Catherine. And if you've got little children, if they're not watching, they're watching video, don't disturb them. But just want them to come up. Perhaps Dave and Steve could sort of sidle off to the side a bit. Because I want you now to pray your best prayer for the families. Have we got wives yet? Oh, great. They're coming. Great. That's okay. I'm just aware. Yeah. Next time you need to... you probably won't do another three anyway, will you? You might do. Yeah, you might do. Because we wanted to make it important for each person. Do you know what I mean? And I realise there's quite a lot of praying. But this is for you guys to really pray to bless them. And I think we should break up a bit, really. Why don't you come up nearer to us just for this? Let's get a bit huddled around them. I mean, we'll leave them on the platform because the kids will get horrified if they're swamped. But come up nearer to them, all of you. Particularly if you're Grace Church. If you're a visitor, you can hold back a little bit. Just come up so it's more intimate. And I'm going to ask you to pray... Yeah, seriously, do come. Because I'm going to say, let's pray together. And then I'm just going to probably interrupt and say, could one or two of you pray for the families? Maybe three people in max. But so I want you to be close enough together to hear. We're not going to bother with the microphone on that bit. So let's really pray for these families, for God's blessing. Sorry, I'm in the way of you two guys. God's blessing on them. Pray for their wives. Pray for their children. Pray protection. But also pray that this is just a joyful thing for them, not a thing that burdens them. Anything else you want to pray? Let's go for it. Go on, lay hands out. In a moment, I'll give a shout. One or two can lead us. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I pray for them. Obviously, you can keep praying quietly, but I'm going to ask if you've got the boldness and the voice. We're not going to necessarily do the microphone. Just maybe three or two or three of you, just a loud, clear prayer of protection, blessing for any or all of them. Let's just hear one or two prayers from you.
Father, Father, I just pray your complete protection in health, in finances, Father, over these wives and their children. Father, I want to bring to you, Lord, the imminent birth of these two babies, Lord. For both the Catherines, I ask you in Jesus' name that they will be straightforward, trouble-free, and they will just, the new babies will just be a joy to these families. But Father, we need your protection and your authority over these births, Lord, and they are due soon. And we ask for a double portion of your blessing on these women, on these mothers, on these godly mothers as they give birth, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you so much for each one of these families. Thank you so much for the couples, for John and Molly, for Chris and Catherine and Thomas and Catherine. Thank you so much for these wives. Mm. We know that these men would not be half as far as they are were it not for their wives and their service and their submission and the wonderful blessing that they have had from their marriages. And I just pray for each marriage, Lord, would you bless them, would you make them exemplary, Lord, would you just pour out your Holy Spirit on them and just bind them so closely together. We know that there are going to be strains as a direct result of these elderships on their marriages. I just pray, protect them, would you define them together, and would they just know so clearly your Spirit among them. So thank you so much for their commitment to one another. Thank you for your commitment to your church. And I just pray for the commitment in these marriages. I pray, Holy Spirit, just bless them. Would they be such so blessed by one another, by your Spirit in their marriages, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Bless them. Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Lord, I want to thank you for Molly and Catherine and Catherine. Lord, all different situations, or Lord, two extremes of situations in a way. Father, I just really pray for your grace upon them. Lord, I thank you that you, Lord, you know the limitations, Lord, of right where we're at. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for families, for children being born. But Lord, you know the limitations of that. And Lord, I just thank you for Molly. And yet, Lord, you know the limitations of age, really. Lord, you know all things. And Lord Jesus, I just pray for them, that each of them, Lord, will be just rooted and grounded in you. Lord, they will know who they are in you. Lord, they will know that they are who they are because of the grace of God. Lord, I pray they will, yeah, Lord, they will not compare themselves with each other. Lord, even mum to mum. But Lord, in you, they are who they are, and they will handle things differently and well. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, although we are flesh, although we are frail, Lord, you are faithful. And Father, I just really pray for your faithfulness to Molly, to Catherine and Catherine. Lord, that they would really know your grace for the added demands upon them. And Lord, they would just know your well done. Lord, they would know, Lord, yeah, just your faithfulness to them, Lord, in everyday life, I pray.
Amen. Amen. And we all say, amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for them. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you guys can get down. Oh, do you want to say, yeah? Let's give them a clap, yeah. Over to you.
Can I just get the John, Thomas, Chris, Dave, can you stay where you are?
Oh, he does want you to stay. Sorry.
Just the guys worshiping. We're gonna. I know time is disappearing, but you can still be home for the X Factor results, so we're all right. And but not that I'm paying your speeding fines. But if I could just have the guys here, I just want a couple more minutes, and then we're gonna worship again with one song, and I want to thank God for what He's doing. But someone's given me this evening, and I love it. And it just says, it's entitled Love Your Pastor. And well, we don't really quite work that way with the one pastor, do we? We're a team of elders. But I just want to encourage you to pray for your elders. This is wonderful. Elders have a tough job, all right? And when I say job, I mean, me and David are paid to do it. These guys are volunteers, you know. But the same thing. Elders have a tough job. And this is why you should pray for us. It says this, right? If your elder is young, he lacks experience. If your elder is grey-haired, he's too old. If he's got five kids, that's too many. But if he's got none, he's setting a bad example. If his wife leads the worship, she's too forward. If she doesn't, she's not dedicated. If he preaches from notes, he's dry and boring. If he preaches without notes, he's shallow. If he spends too much time in the study, he neglects people. But if he makes home visits, he's not a good time manager. If he cares for the poor, he wants public approval. But if he spends time with wealthy members, he's just ingratiating himself. If he makes suggestions for change, he's a dictator. If he has made no suggestions for change, he's lacking vision. If he uses too many illustrations, he's neglecting the Bible. But if he doesn't use enough illustrations, well, he's not clear. If he speaks against sin, he's legalistic. If he doesn't speak against sin, he's a compromiser. If he preaches for an hour, he's windy and wordy. If he doesn't preach for an hour, he's got nothing to say. If he preaches the truth, he's offensive. If he doesn't preach the truth, he's wishy-washy. If he doesn't please everyone, he's hurting the church. If he tries to please everyone, that man has no convictions. If he preaches giving, he's a money grabber. If he doesn't, he's not really developing people well. You get the idea. And the list goes on from there. If he preaches regularly, he's boring. If he invites visiting speakers, he's shirking his responsibility. You get the idea, okay? All I'm going to say is some jobs you can't win. I want you to pray for this team ongoing. We've prayed tonight. The reason I say that to you is simply to say it is a tough role, and I would like you to commit to pray for this team on an ongoing basis. That's my sort of request. Is that all right? Would you pray for, would you encourage, would you strengthen, would you build up, and would you not gossip and hold your tongues and not criticise but speak well? Okay, is that all right? That's my request. So I'm just going to, you guys can sit down now, but I just want you to be here while I said that. I'm going to pray a prayer, and then Toby's going to lead us in worship with one last song just to celebrate what Jesus is doing amongst us as a church. So let's stand together, shall we? And I'm going to pray. Living God, I want to thank you for what we've done tonight. Lord, I'm excited. Thank you that Grace Church now has five elders when it used to have two. Lord Jesus, we had three for a while, and then we had two again. And Lord God, I thank you for five. I pray that more will follow. Lord Jesus, I pray you bless us, grow us, increase us, and give us elders enough to lead this church and grow it, and to send as well. Lord Jesus, we're looking to you. We are trusting you, and I pray you would raise up and develop more and more leaders amongst us, because you've called us on a big mission. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's worship Jesus.
This is how I know.
This is how I know what love is. This is